that smile. Praise God. The Lord bless you this morning. Praise the Lord. Jesus set me free for all eternity. Praise the Lord. I want everybody to sing, young and old. Sing to the Lord. Touch the Lord this morning. Praise God. Close your eyes if you want as we sing this. Amen. Each and every one. I'm going to ask my dad to pray in a moment. John has sent me a message this morning. His son-in-law Billy, I'm sure most people know Brother Billy, he's married to Joy, John's daughter Joy. He got caught in the power shaft of the tractor, I think it must have been yesterday, and I think he's alright, but it tore both of his boots right off of him, so I don't know exactly all the damage, but John's went down the day and asking for prayer for Billy. So we want to pray for Billy and just pray the Lord will touch him. Sammy as well has been taken back into hospital. Carl had mentioned to me the amount of tablets he had to take was a lot. So they think now they've given him too many tablets. And they did a biopsy on the kidney. I don't know all the medical what it means, but he said they put a large needle in through him to check out that his body wasn't rejecting the kidney, and he said it had slowed down a bit. They think this could be the cause of the tablets. So we want to be praying for Sammy as well. The devil's a liar. That's what he is. But God's the truth. And I want my dad to pray for Billy and Sammy as well. And the Lord bless each one as we come. Oh, is he there? Is he? Oh, no. Praise God. That's all right. I'll pray then, it's alright. Also, just to let you know, and I know I'm keeping you starting, last week we raised £529 for Brother Andrew, and I think that's tremendous. The Lord bless each and every one that give, and you know God will bless you when you give to the Lord's work. Especially, you know, Brother Andrew's not on a salary or anything, he's trusting the Lord for, you know, how things are, and we just want to continue to pray for him. Also pray for Alan Connor. He's in Ghana at the minute. He's just come back from Italy. And he's asked for our prayers as well. Praise God. Let us come and bow our heads this morning. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just bow before you this morning in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that this is the privilege which is ours as the people of God, that we can come from thy footstool into thy very throne room and into thy very presence by the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb. Father, we thank Thee for the song we've been singing about Thy blood. And we know that Thy blood shall never lose its power, but Thy blood is powerful. We thank Thee for the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank You that we can wash in it by faith and be clean. Father, we plead the merits of that precious blood over this house and over everyone in it and over all that's near and dear to this. We plead the potency and power of the blood of Jesus Christ today. We ask for Billy, Lord, John's son-in-law, that Thou indeed will touch him and heal him. And God, speak to his heart. Bless Joy as well. Bless the children. Bless John and Karen. Bless the Bruce family. Move in every one of them and save them. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Lord, touch my dad today as well. Bless any others that's homesick or afflicted. May the hand of the Lord touch them. And Father, we do pray again for Sammy. We rebuke every lie of the devil. Lord, Your prophets. Lord, when a man come to them and he receives prayer for his child, they said, here's the charts. But he said, I'm not looking at charts. I'm looking at the Word of God. Lord, we even heard that we're not to look at the giants. Lord, we heard last week of a good report. Though there was a skeptic and many against it, two men said we're able to do it. Lord, we receive it as bread. We rebuke these giants in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We pray You'll touch somebody.
Yes,
we pray that all will be well. And God, that He'll testify to it.
Yes,
we cast down all reasoning.
Jesus.
We cast down unbelief.
Yes.
Rid us of unbelief and fear. In Jesus' precious name. We pray again for Debbie that You'll continue to touch her. May the power of God overshadow her. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Come upon her mightily by the power of the Holy Ghost. And touch her, Lord, and save her, and deliver her, in Jesus' precious name. Father, we know You're going to bless Your word, for Your word is blessed. But we thank You for the word of God. We pray Your blessing upon it. Lord, I thank You for the Holy Spirit, that it is poured out. And I take it afresh, in Jesus' name. And I thank You that You undertake for me, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Let us turn to Luke's Gospel and shake hands with everyone beside you as well and say, the Lord bless you. God bless you. Praise God. I was an hour late this morning and I'm still up early. Amen. And now, if my dad was here, he would say, now it's 12:30. It's 11:30, but he would say 12:30. He doesn't like the clocks changing. But it's the good and the bad, you know. It's great, brothers, until the night comes. Then it won't be so good. Is that right, boys? Let's read from verse 11 of Luke chapter 15. And don't forget, next Sunday I'll be preaching in Scotland, the Lord willing, and Gary and Samuel will be here for the both services. So pray for Gary and Samuel and pray for Scotland. Brother Makeway's now the pastor. I'm sure you all know Brother Makeway. He's preached here before. He's a good young brother. Brother Andrew goes up there and preaches for him as well. So just pray the Lord will bless and have his way. Verse 11 then of Luke 15. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Verse 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to the citizen of the country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have been and filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he had came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's bread enough to spur, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring in his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. You may be seated. And we know God will bless the reading of his own word. We thank God that this is the word from the Lord Jesus himself tells us. This great parable spoken by the Lord. This parable clearly shows God's great plan of salvation. And God's great plan of mercy for sinners. The Son of God seeks to save that which is lost. And the Holy Spirit seeks us that he might have fellowship with us and be as our friend. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother, that can fill us and lead us and guide us. This parable of the prodigal son has been called the Prince of Parables in the Bible. It has been a door of hope for many a weary wanderer. Many a man has been saved and rescued as he heard this parable spoken of from the Word of God. Now, I could have preached on 1,000 different things, but I felt this morning to preach in this about the lost son. Now, I want you to keep your Bible open in Luke's Gospel, and we're going to go through different verses. And verse 1 says, Give me the portion of goods. This young man here, like many a young man today, sees the things of the world and the pleasures of the world and the pleasures of sin, the Bible says, lasts us for a season. He was no longer satisfied, he was no longer pleased. Like many a young person says, church is boring, and they get tired of it, they get sick of it, and they think there's more pleasure out in the world, there's more pleasure with their friends. But the Bible says that sin's pleasures for a season. And we know a season's only a short time. Seasons change. I know all about the changing of the sinful season. When you go out at the start and you think it's great and you think it's wonderful, and you know as a young man you go out, and maybe you don't go out to take drugs and out to take drink and all them things, but the one drink leads to another drink and another till you become hooked on drink, and the one cigarette leads to another till you become hooked on nicotine, and before long you're in bondage to drink and in bondage to nicotine. And many young men went out and maybe stole a sweet. Then the next time he stole something bigger than a sweet, to where he ends up stealing cars and goes from stealing cars to robbery and goes from robbery to armed robbery. And where does it end? In jail. And sin will take you further than you want to go, and sin will leave you longer than you ever want to stay. And this young man says, I leave these, my father's house. Give me my goods. Give me whatever's coming to me, and I'm going to leave, and I'm going to go. And he took his gifts, and he misused his gifts, and he took his blessings, and he misused his blessings. And many a young person today has gifts and blessings from their natural father and from the heavenly father, but they misuse them on things of this world that don't count and don't matter. You say, what are you talking about? Like singing. With so much today of the X factor, now you're not a homosexual, you haven't much of a chance of winning it these days. But it seems to be that most of these programs and things today promote the wrong thing completely. But there's many young persons gifted with singing, and they use it for the devil and for the world and the things of the world, where they could be using it for God. We know we need singers in church. They don't just mean the congregation, but men and women that can sing for the Lord. My years ago, wasn't it great when you had meetings and somebody sung in them and somebody testified, ever before you had the preaching, Boy, wasn't it great. That's what we need today. Singers and dancers too in the house of God. And I tell you, waste it all. You see, his own personal gratification, it was all wasted on. All self. Utterly regardless of the Father's wisdom or feelings. Dishonoring to God that we should seek our own affairs and our own lives. You see, when we're out of God's way, we're out of every way. Our ways are not God's ways. For God's ways are higher than our ways. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And when we're in our own way, we're not in God's way. For God's way is different than our way. God has to turn us to his way. And this young man here, prodigal, because he was rebellious, prodigal, because he went away and wasted all he had. Let me read you here a little bit what William Branham says about gifts. Now there is so much in the day that we live in pertaining to gifts. So many people judge people by the gifts they have. Well, I believe that these things are gifts. I believe what we see take place as gifts, and they are God-given gifts. But if we do not use them in the right way that God intended them to be used, then we can do more harm with the gifts than we can do if we did not have the gifts. The other night I made a statement at the pulpit saying this, that I would rather see brotherly love existing among the church if we didn't have one case of healing or anything else. See, we must know what these things are for. If a man comes and he has a great gift, no matter if he belongs to a denomination different from yours or where he comes from, don't judge him by what denomination he comes from or how he dresses, but what you want to see is what he's trying to do with that gift. What purpose he has. If he's trying to take his influence and build himself a great name out of it, if it's discernment of spirit enough to know what's wrong, no matter how great a teacher he is, how powerful he is, how intellectual he is, or how his gifts operate, if he isn't trying to achieve something for the benefit of the body of Christ, your own spiritual discernment would tell you that's wrong. No matter how accurate, how perfect it is, it's wrong if it isn't used for the body of Christ. And I tell you, we thank God for gifts, but gifts that promote man are no gifts. They must promote Christ and help God's people. And I tell you, this young man here had gifts, and he had a portion bestowed to him, and he had a portion given to him. And remember, this is a type of the man that saved but goes away from God. This is what this is a type of. That's what's called the prodigal son. He never become a son. He was a son. Now, I believe in election, but I'll tell you, like Paisley would say, I'm Spurgeon. But that's where Paisley got it from. Spurgeon and Paisley both said this. They said, we believe in election, but God elect more. That's what they said. And I think it's true. You can preach election too far to where people think they can live however they want and they're in. But I tell you, there's a responsibility to God and the things of God. Romans 11:29 says, for the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And we hear that quoted in prayer, and we hear that mentioned so often. But I want to tell you this, you can misuse that gift. You can misrepresent that gift. And God wants us to use our gifts for him and for nothing else. And God doesn't want us to use a gift to get at somebody, but God wants us to use a gift to help somebody. And he wants us to have love. Doesn't Corinthians tell us where there's tongues they'll cease, where there's prophecy they'll cease? Doesn't it say that? But love endureth forever. Charity, it's love. And we want the love of God in our hearts. Praise God. See, in verse 13 it says he went on a wayward journey into the far country. The far country represents that condition or sphere of living for God is unknown. And many think, I'll go out into the world, I'll go away from God, I'll run away from God. I want to tell you, David thought that. And David tried that. But then David came back in the Psalms and he said, if I go to hell, you're there. If I go to the heavens, you're there. preaching the truth. And they'll tell you, if you're a young girl, they'll tell you, oh, you've never enjoyed yourself. Quit dressing the way you're dressing. Get your mini shirt on. In other words, show your flesh. Paint your lips. Go out and have a good time at the dances and all these things. But what they don't tell you is the result of such stuff.
Yes, amen.
What about the wee girls today that have children out of wedlock? What about these debates we're hearing going on here now about abortion? And one old woman came on the old Nolan show the other night. May God graze her elbow. That's what I'm saying. May grant it. She's telling the truth. She said, don't try to tell me all these one-off cases. She says the reason for so many abortions is because of promiscuous living in sin. And if her children were taught, don't do it, tell your mind, we'll have no problem. You know, there is groups that go around some of the schools. They're not allowed in a lot of them today. I know Rodney Addison's wife belongs to one of these groups. He's no Rodney Addison, he's a good lad. They go around and teach children, you know, you don't do them things till you're married. But a lot of schools won't have them teaching that no more today. They don't want to hear that. They want to learn them safe sex. And half the wee boys and girls know nothing about it. So they tell them about it. Then they know about it. And I tell you, it's all wrong. And I don't care what anybody thinks of it. It's wrong. The Bible's against it. And I tell you, this is the hour we're living in. This prodigal son says, I'll go away, I'll leave. But you see, when you go away, when you leave the house of God, when you leave the people of God, you're in dangerous ground. Away from the influence of godly prayers, away from the influence of godly preaching, away from the influence of godly prayers, and you get away from that influence, and you come under the influence of the devil's disciples. And I tell you, it's an influence you don't want to be under. And I'll tell you, it'll take you further. Leaving all the blessings of a rich, gracious Father, the church of pleasure. The self-will is to rebel against God. Look at Isaiah 1, verse 19 and 20. If we be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. I want to go back to abortions for a moment. It's just come upon me. I'm going to say it. You ever hear these arguments? They'll tell you about the fetus, that they've tested it, and you know that there's coming something wrong with a child and all the rest of it. But what about the cases where they say that and it's proved wrong? What about that? I can tell you of cases of somebody very close to myself. They told them there was nothing wrong with their child, and there was. And then there's other cases where they tell them there's something wrong with a child and there's nothing wrong with it. And they seem so set on being murderers these days. They seem so set on it. Now I'll tell you, that's wrong. That's a Cain spirit.
Yes.
That's what that is. That's where it come from. And God's against it. And I tell you, when you see some of them, and then one woman said, the man has no choice. See, that's totally contradictory to the Word of God. For the Bible says the husband's the head of the house and the head of the home. And that's what's wrong today, where the homes have lost their head and many churches have lost their head, which is Christ. And our head's not the Pope, thank God, but our head's the Lord Jesus Christ. And our high priest, not the wee boy round the corner with a collar on him, but our priest is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And when we confess our sins to him, he doesn't tell them again. But they're washed away in the sea of God's forgetfulness. No longer to be remembered against us no more. Now I want to tell you this morning, if there's some wee girl listening to my voice that want to say this, even if they've went as far as what I'm talking about, God can still forgive them. And there's still mercy for them. For there's mercy with the Lord. For sinners, Jesus loves. But you see, spend all. Look at verse 13 as well. Reckless living. They're only wasting a substance. Verse 13 says, reckless living. Sweet fellowship of the Father was exchanged for riotous living of the ungodly. And the result was that it ever ends with a backslider from God, wasting of his precious gifts, wasting of the time when you could be given a track out, wasting of the time when you could be doing street evangelism, wasting of the time on a Wednesday night when you could be in the prayer meeting praying for people to get saved, wasting your time. The devil wants you to waste all your time with him. You say, I'm not doing it for the devil. If you're not serving God, you're serving the devil. There's only two, darkness or light, Jesus or Beelzebub, or Mammon, the Bible calls him. Prince of the power of the earth, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's what my Bible says in Ephesians. And I tell you, the Holy Spirit's not leading you. This other spirit's leading you. We don't want the other spirit, we want the Holy Spirit. You see, it's a giveaway, isn't it? Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit won't lead you to look at the wrong stuff. That's not the Holy Spirit. You don't need to know if that's God or not. You know that's an unclean devil. The Holy Spirit's holy. The Holy Spirit's pure. The Holy Spirit's righteous. And when you feel convicted, that's the Holy Spirit, because the Lord loves you. And he's chastising you because he loves you. Like a father chastises his children, so the Holy Spirit chastises us. And we thank God for it. Even as a preacher, the Holy Spirit chastises the preacher too, you know. Thank God for it. There's nothing like, you know, when your own wee child, maybe you have to give him a clip. And I know they don't have it in schools these days, but they're wrong. For the Bible says, spare the rod and spoil the child. You know, when you were young, there was no messing about like there is today. Sure there wasn't. I mean, these people that's older than me know I'm telling you the truth. I'll tell you, when I was a wee lad, I hear some of the stuff today. It never happened. I can tell you, when my dad, mum, all she had to say was, your dad's home. That was it. My mum didn't have to say another word. When my mother said, you boys are in for it, your dad's home, you hear it like horses going up the stairs, up the bedroom. We were in bed and sleeping in 2 seconds. See, the day your dad's home, makes no difference. The rule's been lost. Because this is the age we're in, Laodicea. No, I'm not blaming the parents, really. I'm blaming everything. Because, you see, it's Kieran's done away with school, best job of the whole. You see, a fellow like me, teacher's nightmare. Imagine me at school the day when I was a wee fella. I was a nightmare, I'll be honest. You see, when I get caned, he never caned me like that. No, because I laughed at him. Rex Russell, who's ever heard of him? He used to climb on a chair like that. Up on the chair. I held my hand out and he dropped down at him. With a big gun with a cane. And one of the top engine. Ha ha ha. Never hurt. And me about 12 years of age, laughing at him. So he back in the chair again, about 4 goes at it. I can tell you it hurt, but I wouldn't cry for him. I get outside. Now, when I get outside, I cry. But not in front of him. No, yes, that's the way it was. I had to get caned. But you see, it brought me in line. But you see, what do you do with a wee fella that's like I was? And you don't cane him. You give him a bag of sweets. I'll tell you, you'll be in trouble. Put him down the field like a hare. That's the truth. Wreck the place. But I tell you, I got caned. Now, I'll tell you this story. I know I was preaching this morning. I hope it's all right. But I'll tell you this story. You will remember this, for he went to school with me. And you guys are rascal like. But there's me and a big fella, Dixon. Boy, he was a big lump of a fella. He was as big near as I am now when we were at school. We were only about 15, 14 or 15. He was a big, like a man then. He could have bench pressed 200 pounds when he was 15 at school. The teachers could do nothing with him. They just held him. They couldn't have done nothing with him. He was that big of a fella. But of course, we mocked this wee teacher this day, and we gave an awful cheek and racked about. And this wee teacher says, right, straight up to Mr. Lone's office. And we let on, we're sulking and all, and we're powerful sorry, and we moped away after you say, and Dixon says to me, no, we'll do it, Tom. We'll go to the toilets. Of course, we went to the toilets, got the hot top on, held our hands under the hot top as long as we could, and the hands were red. And we came back right our face and all. Mrs. were very sorry. What happened to Candace? But he didn't, whenever he went near him. And of course, we showed her the red hands, and she said, boys, I didn't want you getting caned. And we let on where we came. So, of course, what we didn't plan on was at 1 o'clock that we teacher met the principal, and she says, now, I didn't mean you to cane the two lads. I just wanted you to have a talk. And we said, I never seen it. But we got caned then. Be sure your sins will find you. But you see, we've lost the rule today. Isn't it true? And not only that, there, and it's everywhere in the world. Two men want to raise children. Now, I'm telling you, I'm not for it. I'm against it. It's wrong. There should be a mother and a father, because a mother can tell wee girls things a father can never tell them. And a father can tell wee boys things a mother can never tell them. That's the Bible. But you see, all that's done away with today. And you hear all this talk about politicians this, politicians that. But we should be thankful that some of them do stand for the truth. They do stand for what's right. It would be worse. Just think if we hadn't got the ones we have. It would be worse. They just do whatever they want. This man here, he spent all and ran his living. In Psalms 51 verse 9 to 12 it says, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. All will be wasted. The enjoyment of them will speedily die away when you turn away from God. The pleasure of sin lasts but for the season. Never turn away from God. Never turn away from the things of God. There's no hope outside of the Lord. No matter how difficult the days are, or if we're sick or we're unwell or whatever problems we have, we can kneel before a throne of grace and tell the Lord all about it. And the Lord will help us. Well, there's nothing like spending time in the King's presence. Sure there's not. 1 Timothy 5 verse 6 says, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. I tell you, there's many today think they're living in pleasure, but they're dead while they're living. 2 Thessalonians 2:12, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, and in pleasure in unrighteousness. I tell you, pleasure and unrighteousness. And there's many people that throw it in your face. Did you notice today, you have no rights as a Christian today? Do you realize that? None. But they'll slam it in your face. Shove it onto you. No matter what you think of it. But you're not allowed to give your opinion. But they'll give their opinion. May God grant us a baptism of stickability on backbone. Romans 1 and 32 says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do they see them, but a pleasure in them that do them. And they know God's judgment, and they know the things. You see, all these programs, if you ever did watch them or listen to them, and sometimes you're better not to do you more harm than good. But the first thing they say, of course you're a Christian. You're quoting from that old Bible. They don't want to hear it. Paul said they don't even want to retain God in the knowledge. That's the days we're living in. Verse 14 says it's a miserable plight. I tell you, when you get away from God, it's a miserable plight. When you spent all, there arose a mighty famine. A mighty famine is a sure overtake of all that have wandered away from God. Hunger of soul will certainly come upon those who spend their gifts for that which is not bread. He found out by bitter experience that the rebellion and families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. I tell you, when you're rebelling away from God, wasn't it something, and our brother Andrew, how many caught when he brought out about rebellion last week? The witch of Endor. Sin of rebellion. The Bible says, it says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And then we saw the man of God turn to witch. You remember he mentioned it last week. You never thought he would have done that, would you? But he did. You see, when a man gets away from God, there's no telling if far he'll go. I know of a young woman, and I'll mention no names, but came to church, professed to be saved, but today is following witchcraft. Wearing dark clothes, the hair's dark, eyes dark, everything has to be black. Now I know that. I'm not, look, I used to be, I wouldn't have worn a black suit and all that, a bit over the top, I'll be honest with you. But there's nothing wrong with black. Nothing at all. But you know what I mean when it's all black? You see, everything's black. And there's something with it, and there's a spirit comes in. And they're reading all these odd things about witches and all. And you see, young people, the day, playing about with this stuff, and they think there's nothing to it. But I want to tell you, there's a reality behind it all. When you go on to YouTube or on to one of them places and you read of a woman called Doreen Irvine, which was a practicing witch, and how God saved her and how God delivered her, and she said she could kill a bird in flight with witchcraft. She made a whole group of people disappear on a mountain. Yes, missionaries are up on the mountain, or people giving out tracts were up to witness on this mountain and find out where the witches were, and she saw them coming, and she made them all disappear. She caused a cloud to come down around them. That's witchcraft. And what about all the ministers in the 60s shaking this boy's hand, and William Brown was the only preacher out of Humberton. When he came up to them, he said, "You're a witch." He never shook his hand. And all the rest of them were shocked, and he said, he called them a witch. He knew them. And he discerned the spirit. And I tell you, there's witches about Bonbridge, you know. And there's witches about this country today. But thank God for the power of the blood of Jesus. Oh, I'll tell you. I can tell you stories of missionaries this morning. Yes, I can tell you of a man that went to preach in Africa. And the witch doctor come and said, "No man has ever come to this part of Africa and survived. He's dying. And I'm going to get the high witches, and we're going to come and put a spell in your meetings and stop your meetings." And this man was filled with the Holy Ghost. And they came, and when the witches came, they all repented and got saved. Every one of them. And you know what they said? They said, "When we come to put a spell on you, you are different from all the rest. For," he said, "we saw a hedge of fire, and it circled you, and mighty big angels all around you." And they turned to Christ, and they got saved, and they were witches. I've seen witches in Mashingo in Africa. Witches. I've seen them in another place. They went off on the meeting of helicopters. It would have scared the life out of you if you weren't seen. Round the floor like that. Witches. But the power of God delivered them and set them free. I tell you, people play with things. They think it's a joke. And some of these games today shouldn't be played. And some of these programs today should never be watched, because there's other stuff behind them. We need to be careful what our children say. And we need to be careful what we say. And there's things we can't help saying. We see it every day. And we still need to talk to the Lord all about it. And ask the Lord to keep us clean. Oh, look at verse 15. Says he fell into their spurring efforts. He went and joined himself to the citizen. He had willingly given away his substance. Now he is compelled to give himself. Such is the course of sin. If we waste our gifts and privileges, and ourselves are finally become bond slaves. I tell you, you know, as a young man, I started out and took a drink. I never thought I'd end up in jail. I never thought I'd end up in the company I was in, but I did. And then one day, talking about.
But it wasn't pain for me. It was conviction of sin. Suicidal thoughts are from hell. They're from the devil himself. But I tell you, when I called on the name of Jesus, when I called on the name of the Lord, and I tell you, the Bible says the peace of God passeth all understanding. But you see, a man that's not saved knows nothing about it. A man that's never experienced God's mercy knows nothing about it. But we need to tell them. We have a duty on us. He'd willingly give all away, everything. Now he's a bond slave. When you look at the life of Lot, you clearly see he took the same foolish, fruitless step when he became a ruler in Sodom. In Genesis 19. Lot was saved, I know that, but Lot done things he shouldn't have done. I believe that. And you see, when God said to Lot, come out of this city, Lot didn't say, right, I'm coming. Sure he did. They had to take him by the hand and bring him out. And he wasn't out 5 minutes till he said, here's a wee city over here. That's not what God told him. And they haven't got time to go into all what happened. But you know what happened. But there was none of that with Abraham. Abraham walked with God very closely. God never had to take an angel and catch Abraham by the hand and pull him out. But Abraham met God and got instructions and he obeyed them. And God blessed him. Not only did God bless him, he blessed his seed and his seed after. Praise God. Look also in verse 16. You see, this is what happens when you get so far away. They come into a friendless condition. Let me tell you, young person, your friends are not really your friends. When the going gets tough, they'll leave you alone. And you'll be by yourself. And I tell you, it's alright when you're in a group. My, it's great when you're in a group and you'll always have a leader. And he'll lead you into all the devilment. But when you're left by yourself, and you have to stand on your own 2 feet. And all your friends are gone. Here's this fella here. He left all in a friendless condition. No man gave on to him. He'd wasted what he had. He'd spent it all in riotous living, unclean living, in sin and all types of stuff. And here now he's nothing. And away from the Father's house. Sold himself for naught. Wretched and self-ruined. He longs for even the satisfaction even enjoyed with the pigs. And the Bible says he went amongst the swine and he feared when it filled his belly with the husk the pigs eat. Here's a fellow in a house of royalty and privileges of royalty and all the benefits of royalty, and he leaves it all and goes with an inheritance. He wastes it all in a short time. He squanders. I know all about the pig pen. And here he ended up in the pig pen. And here's what he said, no man give unto me. No man can give a sin-wasted sinner what he needs. Only Christ. You might as well expect heat from an iceberg as help from the devil. I'll tell you, you'll never get it. Verse 18, I want you to see this noble resolve. We're coming to a close in a moment. I will arise and go to my father. I tell you, he'd wasted everything, he'd spent all, but thank God something within him moved him. And he says, I'll arise from the pig pen and I'll go to my father's house. Even if I'm only just a servant in his house, it's better than this, to be in the pig pen. This man was driven to the edge of madness. But he has now come to himself. He remembers the Father's house and all the provision. And hope springs up within him. He comes to himself. I tell you, I would that God would let every one of us come to their senses. I would that God would let all our loved ones come to their senses. And realize that without Christ we're lost. We're only in a pig pen, as it were. We need to turn to the Father's house. I don't believe there's any good in a man. I believe that a man's thinking. The Bible says he's a new creature, but the old boy's never far away. Oh, he'll give you trouble. And it's like the chief said to William Branham when he asked him, "Chief, how's it going? When you get the Holy Ghost?" And he said, "Brother Branham, from I got the Holy Ghost, the two dogs at work. One's black and one's white." And he says, "They're almost fight." And he said, "Which one wins the fight?" And he said, "Whatever one I feed the most." Oh, that we would starve the black dog, feed the white one. Amen? I want to read you the words of the old hymn. "While the lamp holds on to burn, the greatest sinner may return." He not only said, "I will rise," but he did. I want you to see what happens. Here's my last thought in verse 20. He got a gracious reception. When he decided he would arise and return, God never condemned him. The Father never turned him out. The Father never turned him away. Though he was a sinner, though he'd spent all, he lay amongst the pigs, he smelt like pigs, he was filthy, he was unclean. My, he was one dirty fella, wasn't it? But the Father received him. He gave him a gracious reception. He saw him coming afar off. Even before he reached home, God knew he had set his heart to come home. And while he was on his way, the preparation began. And the Father says, "Prepare the fatted calf. Get the best cloak you can get. Get the best ring you can get. For my son was dead, but now he's alive again. Here he comes." I'll tell you, he received him with open arms, didn't he? You know, the other brother wasn't too happy about it. That's like a lot of Christians today, you know. And I'm saying it like that, I hope you'll forgive me, but some boys, you know, when they hear, "Well, how are you getting on?" They don't want you to tell them, "I'm doing well." They want you to hear, "Did you get drunk from you get saved? Or did you backslide?" That's what they want to hear. But when you start to tell them, "Well, I've come back from Africa, 700 get saved." Well, they don't want to hear that off the go. They're laying a flash. But if somebody was to tell them that they were seeing them drunk the other week, they'd smile and rub their hands like a wee disciple of the devil.
Yes.
And they're right with the Christians. Oh, that God would make us men and women that when a fellow man falls, we have mercy for them. We can put our arms round them and love them with the love of the Lord and pray for them. The Bible says, if a brother's overtaken in a fault, let him that's spiritual restore such a one. It's not the word of God. I tell you, the Father's love at once cast out the prodigal's fears. He began to confess, but his coming home was to the Father the best confession. What value is there in confession if there's no turning away from sin? I'll tell you, he was glad he came back. Isaiah 55:7 says, "Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." No one gave him in the far country, for he said he had nothing. But now all that the Father hath is at his disposal as soon as he come home. I tell you, this man was away. He's only home and he's all the privileges of all the rest right away. That's God. Ephesians 2 and 8 says this, and I'm closing. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God." I tell you, don't be deceived this morning. There's nothing in the far country. There's nothing in the world to satisfy. I don't mean the world out here in general. I mean the things of sin, the flesh, the devil. Pleasure of sin lasts for a season. But thank God for the Father's house. Thank God for mercy. And I'll tell you, many this morning's out in sin, and we need to be praying for them. We need to get alone with the Lord and get on our knees and pray for them, that God will have mercy on them. Let's come and bow our heads this morning. Well, every head's bowed and every eye closed. If you would want prayer this morning, just lift your hand up to the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you that there's mercy with the Lord. Lord, every one of us went out of your presence. Every one of us were filthy and unclean before you. But Lord, something brought us to our senses. We know it was your grace. We rose to our feet and turned to the Father's house. Lord, we thank you that when we turn our heart again, we shall be saved. Lord, this morning for the hands raised in this house. Lord, you know their hearts, you know their needs. I pray you'll bless them and strengthen them. Grant them the very desires of their heart. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, give every one of us a deeper thirst and hunger for thee. For your word says, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Lord, as a deer panteth after the water brooks, so my soul thirsteth after thee. Bless, I pray, bless every man and every woman, every boy and every girl in this room this morning. Lord, for those that come to be here, whether they're sick or at work, we pray you will touch them and bless them and strengthen them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Lord, bless Big John and the family at this time. God, continue to touch them and be with them. Give John the words to say at this time to Billy. Touch Billy, we pray. Bless Ian as well as he's away in Scotland. Lord, touch my dad today as well. Lord, if there's any others, Lord, touch them as well. Touch Sammy. Lord, bless the children here, and the song leaders, the Sunday school teachers, and everyone in this room. And oh God, just touch everyone, I pray, from the front to the back, from the youngest to the oldest. And help us to serve you in this evil age, we pray. Now cover us with your blood. Part us with your blessings. And make it rich and out of no sorrows till thou would come or call. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Praise God. Jesus, the night at 6 o'clock. Well, that was 7 in the old time. The Lord bless you.
Have not him joyful, joyful in the meeting.